The show's live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. On the program today, we'll talk with Barbara Zachow, who is director of the Parkland Chorus and Parkland Chamber Singers at Parkland College in Champaign. They're giving a concert tomorrow evening in the Parkland Theater with special guests from Monticello High School. I presume they're from Monticello High School. We'll find out. And Barbara will be my guest in the second portion of the show. First portion of the show, my guest will be David Lopez Trujillo, who is director of a group called Tuncul Percusiones México, a percussion group that plays Mexican music, although they're actually from a university in Texas. They were scheduled to be on the concert series at the Doudna Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tomorrow night, and I just got word that that concert, due to unforeseen circumstances, has had to be canceled, and they hope to reschedule it. Nonetheless, this interview, which I actually conducted on Friday, I thought was interesting enough and the music unusual enough, of the sort probably none of us have heard, or very few of us anyway, that I'll air the interview anyway, just for your interest. And we'll mention again, in case you were planning to go to that concert, that it has been canceled. Hopefully it'll be rescheduled, and I'll get word on that at some point. You're listening to Live and Local, and here is the Tuncul Percusiones México.
Thank you.
was a concheros dance from the ensemble called Tuncul Percusiones Mexico, conducted by, or rather directed by, David Lopez Trujillo. And the rattles that you heard there were actually made out of dried fruits called in Mexico huesos de fraile, or monk's bones. I talked with David Lopez on Friday in advance of what was to be a concert that Tuncul were to give tomorrow night at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston at the Dowden Fine Arts Center. That concert has been canceled, I just learned this morning, and they hope to reschedule. Nonetheless, I thought we would air the conversation because it was, I thought, quite interesting and music that we all probably haven't heard much, if at all. And so let's hear that interview. We'll hear some more of their music as well with David Lopez here on Live and Local. Tell me what the name means. You spell it in all capital letters, Tuncul, T-U-N-K-U-L. What does that name come from?
Oh, that's the name of a musical instrument. It's the most of the instruments we play come either from the Aztecs or from the Mayan. Okay, so this is the name of one of the main instruments that they used, and it's in Mayan. The Aztec name for that, which is more known among percussionists, it's called Teponazcle, and among the Mayans it was called Tuncul, because the instrument, it's a log drum that has two tongues, so it produces two different tones. And that's why they called it Tuncul, because it's similar to the sound it produces, two different tones.
So it's really a descriptive, almost an onomatopoeic word.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is. Uh-huh.
Yeah. How did you get involved in this kind of music?
I started this project in 2005 when I was working for the University of Sciences and Arts of Chiapas, which is the southeast state in Mexico. And they asked me to develop a research project. And so I decided to start doing some research on the instruments that people in Mexico used before the Spaniard conquerors came to the continent. So that's how I started this as a research project. Then later on, I started, after doing the research, I started buying the instruments and then composing and recording music for the project.
Where do you find instruments from this time period, which is what time
there,
period?
There are some instruments that are still indigenous communities in Mexico that they still use. Not many of them, but some of them, like the log drum that I was talking about before, the single skin drum that's called among the Aztecs Huehuetl, among the Mayans Zacatán. Those two are still in use in many different indigenous communities in Mexico, so you can find them there. Some other of the instruments that we have people to build the instruments. We have to do a special order and give the specifications that we need for the instruments. And those instruments that we have made by people specialized in making percussion instruments, those come from the research, all the information that we found through research. So we try to make the instruments as close as we can to the originals that they used.
And do you know what the originals were like because of the instruments that are still around from that time?
Yes, because we have there are some instruments that have been previously documented in books, like back in the 1960s, 1970s, some people wrote a few books on the instruments that are still kept in the anthropology museums in Mexico. And So we found some information from there. Also, what they call codexes, which were the original drawings of the Aztecs and the Mayans. There are drawings and descriptions of the instruments there. Also, we have the chronicles from the Spaniard conquistadors who wrote about the instruments and the way they used to use them.
So what time period are we talking about here? When were the Aztecs and Mayans around? I have forgotten myself.
Yeah, well, the most documented periods are from 2000 before Christ to 1521, which is the date when the conquistadors finally conquered the main city by that time, which was Mexico City. From 2000 before Christ to 1521 after Christ.
That is a long period of time for a people to be in power, 3,500 years.
Yes.
And yeah. How do we come by the knowledge of the earlier time period?
Oh, because, many of the instruments that they developed, people have done research on them before, and there are evidence of the instruments they used in their paintings, in their codexes, as I said before. Also, it's very closely related to religion, to their praise to God. There's evidence of that in the original documents that survived the process of the conquest. And also, some in the earliest periods, some of the instruments they used, have a good guess of what instruments they used based on the technology and the materials they used for other things.
Can you give some examples?
Yeah, sure. Let's say in the proto-agricultural period, around 2000 before Christ, there is evidence that they used string rattles, which are basically little pieces of dry shells of the fruits or dry marine shells. They attach these shells to a string, and they use it they wrap it around their hands or around their feet. And as they dance, or they moved around, they used this also as musical instruments. And there is a theory that they used this because by this time, when they started farming activities, they used these elements found in nature, these instruments found in nature, to make music. Because the way they used to survive before being able to do farming activities was collecting fruits. So at some point they realized that these fruits, when they dry out, either the shells or the seeds inside the fruit, it makes like a natural rattle. And this happened not only here in the American continent. It happened basically everywhere in the world. Like many of the instruments are present in other ancient cultures in the world, but just a slightly different times.
So I think you have some music that you sent me that will illustrate some of the instruments we were just talking about.
Yes.
What is chakik? Chaaik. What does that mean?
Yeah, chak is the name of the Mayan god of rain. And ik is the name of the day in the Mayan calendar dedicated to this god. I use this title for the piece because the piece is related to fertility rituals, which of course would be associated not only with earth, but also with rain. So that's why I use the name of the god, of the Mayan god of rain, and the name of the day dedicated to this god.
It's a portion of a piece called Chak Ik, a fertility ritual, representing a fertility ritual, performed by Tuncul Percusiones Mexico, directed by David Lopez. And that ensemble was scheduled to be at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston tomorrow evening. Due to unforeseen circumstances, they've had to cancel that concert and do hope to reschedule. But I thought I'd air the interview anyway, which I actually conducted on Friday with David Lopez. Because I thought you'd find it interesting. I certainly did. How is the music that we just heard was your composition, but is this sort of your reimagining of the sort of music that they might have played?
Yeah, it's something like that. I call it an approach to what the original music of these people was probably like. So most all these compositions are based on the research I previously did about the instruments, about the different archaeological periods, about the origin and evolution of the instruments, and very important about the social use of music.
Well, that was
what
good.
What was the social purpose of music? Like in this case for Chuck Eek, it's associated with fertility rituals.
So, for example, it might have been played on what occasion?
On an occasion to give thanks for the first harvest of the year, or to ask for the gods for rain for the next season that they were planting.
How much did they, as far as we know, use music purely for entertainment, or was it generally for some sort of social or religious purpose?
No, they used music for many different purposes. Of course, one of the main purposes was yes, religion, and musicians were also in many cases they were either priests in the case of the music that's used for religious purposes to praise their gods. As in other occasions, musicians would be high-range military because they used music for war also. And it was very important for them to use these instruments that they built so that they would be able to listen to these instruments like a couple miles away, so that they could give signals for military maneuvers. So the people playing these instruments in the case of the use for war, then it was they were high range military people, because they would need to be trained to know what was going on in the battlefields, to be able to give the right signals for the military maneuvers in the fields. Also, they used music for children, for the schools. Spaniards wrote in some of their chronicles that they used to teach history to children through music. They send their children to the schools, and the way they teach them history is teaching them songs, like one song for a historical fact. And they, they used music for entertainment as well. It is said that in the houses, the women or the maids used to sing to the children with smaller instruments, softer music. So those would be some examples of the social use of music.
Besides the soldiers who would high-ranking soldiers who would play some of the music for military purposes, and mm-hmm. the women you mentioned doing some singing, were the sort of ordinary people, were they likely to be instrumentalists themselves, or was music reserved to instrumental music reserved to certain types of people?
Yeah, both. Like, yeah, music for, let's say, for the kings, that was reserved for them, for nobility, or music for military use, that was reserved for them, and it was a specific people that was trained for this, and only they knew that music. They memorized that music and they know how to play it, because also the instruments were sacred. Many of them, but also for general purpose, they had a little, usually smaller instruments for general use of people. Like for example, like I mentioned, in generally speaking, in the houses, the women would be able to sing to their children, just for entertainment purposes. Mm.
What's the range of instruments that you bring with you on your tours?
Oh, we have different instruments. We have drums. We have wooden drums made out of hollowed-out log. Also, we have clay drums, which I have to mention that the professor of ceramic here at the UT, University of Texas, Brownsville, is making especially for us, copying that from the original drawings or from the original instruments that are in the museums. She's making these clay drums for us, especially for the group. Also, among the clay instruments, we have many different flutes, whistles, ocarines. We have different types of rattles and shakers made out of different materials like wood, made out of clay and metal as well. We have log drums. We have conch shells, marine conch shells used as trumpets. And we have turtle shells. We have string rattles out of dry fruits, butterfly cocoons, and made out of dry fruits as well. And we have natural gourd instruments, which we use with water. And those would be basically all the instruments that we bring. I would say probably around 80 different instruments for each concert.
Wow, with how many people playing them?
Four.
Just four?
Yeah, four people, yeah.
And do you do vocalizing as well?
Yeah, we do not much. We are still on an early stage on vocalizing. I'm just working on writing a song. But we do a piece that's based on a poem. That's not a song. It's more like speaking the poem and mimicking the natural rhythms and inflections of the voice with some of the clay drums that we have. So we do that one where we speak in an indigenous language from Chiapas. That's still nowadays used. And I'm currently working on a song. I'm composing an actual song. And we do some other vocalizing in the last piece we play in each concert, which is one of the ones I'm going to be sending you. That's called Heart of Fire, Corazón de Fuego. And we do some vocalizing, trying to resemble the descriptions of the conquistadors.
What do you mean by resemble the descriptions?
Yeah, they describe some of the rituals that they saw the Aztecs were doing to praise their gods, where they used groups of dancers and musicians, very well coordinated, as they described. And they say that at some point they started yelling and whistling very loudly, somewhat chaotic to their Spaniard ears. So we try to resemble that in this piece.
Are there still direct ancestors or direct descendants of the Mayans and Aztecs around in Mexico?
No, not really. All of the indigenous communities nowadays, they have already been somewhat influenced with the Western culture. So it's the music they have nowadays. Most of the communities, it's already been at least somewhat influenced by the Western culture, and you can see that in the instruments they use. Maybe the music may be coming from before the Spaniards came to the continent, but the instruments are different now in most cases. And because most of the music, as far as we know, is only oral tradition, there is really no way to know if it was exactly the way they still use it nowadays.
So in your own composing for this group, where do you get your ideas?
Well, most of the ideas I get are from the research I did before. But some of it, it's just inspiration. And very important, also exploring the possibilities of the instruments. Then we can develop musical ideas also. But most of the ideas in the compositions are based on the research I did before.
But the musical ideas themselves are essentially your own and sort of reimagining how they might be
used.
Yes,
let's say if I'm composing a piece that's going to resemble music for war, then it's going to be loud, kind of fast, and very alive, you know, like a very, very alive feeling to it, compared to, let's say, if I'm composing a song that the women would sing to their children, which would be way softer, probably not that aggressive. So it has to see also with what was the purpose of the music for in each case.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, my guest has been David Lopez for this portion of our show, and he's the director of the Tuncul Percusiones Mexico, and we're going to go out with the tune you just mentioned a few moments ago, Corazón de Fuego, which means Heart of Fire.
Yes.
Did you tell me this was the sort of music that the Aztecs might have, or rather that the Spaniards might have found among the Aztecs when they showed up?
Yeah, that's. I would say that's probably the best documented piece that we have, because several of the Spaniards wrote about these rituals. And you can find, when you compare their descriptions, you find similarities. So you find differences, too, because some of them would say it was amazing how rhythmically complicated the music was, and it was surprising to them how very well coordinated the music was. As complex as it was for them, it was very well coordinated. Some other description would say that was very chaotic, and it's like the devil's music, and I don't want to listen to it.
Mm.
So there are some differences. Also, there are similarities. Like they say, they used there are some parts in the music where they used to yell and whistle very loudly, like they were going crazy. Or let's say, when they describe how long they developed these rituals, they coincide on that one, saying that they started when around noon until late at night. So they developed these rituals for probably 8, 10, or maybe even 12 hours. So there is coincidences on the descriptions. And I guess because of the personal taste of each person, there are also some differences.
And you heard a conversation between myself, Kevin Kelly, and David Lopez Trujillo, who is director of Tuncul Percusiones Mexico. And I thought I had removed references from that interview, which I actually did on Friday, to the concert that is now not taking place at the Dowden Fine Arts Center tomorrow evening. They had to cancel unexpectedly, so that may get rescheduled, but there will be no concert tomorrow night. But I hope you enjoyed this conversation anyway. And here's another sample of their music as was just described.
Thank you.
Heart of Fire, Corazón de Fuego, composition of David López, performed by Tuncul Percusiones México, here on Live and Local. Mr. López is adjunct professor and assistant director of percussion studies at the University of Illinois, University of Texas at Brownsville. And his group, Tuncul, was scheduled to be at the Downtown Fine Arts Center tomorrow evening. Unfortunately, they had to cancel at the last minute, and they hope to reschedule, but I hope you enjoyed our interview here on Live and Local. Support for our show comes in part from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in Fiery Fun, an evening of Latin American and dance music with guitarist Jason Vio and bandoneonist Lydia Kaminska. Friday, November 12th at Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington, and Saturday, November 13th at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. Information can be found at ilsymphony.org. And I might as well mention that Jason Vio and Lydia Kaminska will be on our show on Friday here on Live and Local to share some of their music. We also have support today from a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. My next guest on Live and Local is Barbara Zachow. She's director of the Chorus and Chamber Singers at Parkland College in Champaign. They're giving a concert tomorrow night in the Parkland Theater on campus at 7 o'clock that will also involve a couple of guests, choruses from one of the area high schools. And Barbara's with us now. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
How often, well, first of all, how long have you been working at Parkland? Quite a while.
Since 1990.
1990, what is that? what is that? 20 years? What is 1990? Is that 20 years ago? Already?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of incredibly. And doing both of these choruses
that time? No, I didn't. At first, I just had Parkland Chorus. It was called Choral Union at that point in time, and then its name changed along the way. Chamber Singers, I started later. Sandy Chabot was still here, and she had most of the choral program at Parkland, and she was doing Chamber Singers at the beginning.
And was there a third? I seem to remember there was a third group at the.
There were two. There were two more choral groups at Parkland. One was Camerata, and that no longer exists. The others is Parkland Pops, and that is still in existence. Brian Hagee is the director of that, but it's not a class that Parkland students can take for credit.
But anybody can join it, I imagine?
Yes.
And is that true for both of these choruses, that anybody can join the choruses, or not necessarily?
Theoretically, but Chamber Singers is an auditioned group, so you have to make the audition to get in.
But you don't have to be a Parkland student.
This is true.
Okay.
You can be a community member.
Yeah. What does the balance end up being between students and non-student community members?
In Chamber Singers?
Either of those groups.
Okay. In Chamber Singers, it's mostly Parkland students, but there are some community members. I think I'm thinking that we have 3 community members at the moment out of 14 in Chamber Singers. So most of them are Parkland students. In Parkland Chorus, it's exactly the opposite. Most of the members are community members. A few people take it for credit.
And what sizes are these ensembles?
Chamber Singers is small. It's ranged from 7 to 20 when I've had it in the recent history. Parkland Chorus is between 40 and 60 depending on the semester and sometimes depending on the time of the semester.
So you get to do very different kinds of music with two groups. Can you? And I guess if you're going to have a range of between 7 and 20 for the Chamber Singers, you probably can't even plan your programs until you know who's in the group that year.
I can't plan my program until after classes begin because auditions are held the first day of class. So we re-audition every semester. So whereas many choral programs build freshmen to sophomores and you keep on building on the same people, sometimes I have a core. I always hope for the core to be big, but that doesn't always happen. So it's a gift to work with what you've got in your face that semester and make the best you can of it and then see what life brings the next time the page of the calendar turns.
Well, you brought along a number of samples, and the first one we're going to play is with the Chamber Singers from March of this year. About how big was the group at that point?
About the same size. And there were some of the same people, but not all.
Which, between 7 or near the 20 or near the 7?
Near the 14.
Yeah, so right in the
So I guess closer to 20.
Right in the middle of that. This is music by a composer who's written some really beautiful music, but we don't get to hear much of it. I'm glad you brought some along, by Josef Rheinberger, 19th century composer, do I remember? From Germany, I think.
Yes.
And this is his Abendlied, which is Evening Song.
Evening Song.
Sung here by the Parkland Chamber Singers, conducted by Barbara Zachow, here on Live and Local. That was a live performance by the Parkland Chamber Singers of Josef Rheinberger's Abendlied, or Evening Song, from the concert just this past March, the 12th, as a matter of fact, conducted by Barbara Zachow, who's my guest on today's portion of this portion of Live and Local today. And the Parkland Chamber Singers with the Parkland Chorus are giving a concert tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Parkland College Theater in Champaign. The event is free. Barbara, you've got some guests on this concert. Do you normally?
I'm not sure there is a normal for Parkland. We change every concert. We try to collaborate with as many groups or choruses as we can. And this time we're lucky to have some people from Monticello High School, two groups, their chamber singers and their madrigals, and they're both conducted by Tricia Cole. And she's bringing them. I hope that they're as excited as we are to be together. It seems like it, and I think it'll be lots of fun.
Is this a group that you had heard and said, gee, I'd like to get them on our concert, or how did they end up on your program?
They ended up on our program because Tricia Cole plays in Parkland Orchestra. And with that connection, we started talking with each other, and we were talking choral. And then I said, oh, well, would you be interested in doing a concert together? And she was, oh, sure. And then we started going back and forth. And it ended up, well, how about this one? And it worked.
Well, I've noticed the number of times that Parkland concerts are either collaborations with a couple of different Parkland ensembles, for example, the orchestra and the band, or mm-hmm. wind ensemble often do something
True.
Together, or this kind of arrangement. Does that seem to just further the notion of the community college, the community mission, or just something you feel like doing?
I think a little bit of both. You keep on asking questions that are a little bit of both. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for students who are in high school to be able to hear other choral groups. And maybe sometime they'd think about singing in the Parkland choral groups, either if they're a Parkland student or they graduate and they get a job and they're a community member, whether or not they decide to major in music, because the Parkland ensembles are open to everyone. So I think that music is just a part of people's lives, and you might as well sing. If you like to sing, sing.
I like that. You might as well sing. That
you might
like
as well sing.
That sounds like a T-shirt logo. You know, it would be great to have on the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Does Parkland, do the Parkland choirs have T-shirts?
No.
There you go.
We do not.
Write that down.
All right.
And
all
you can credit it to yourself. You might as well sing. That's a great one. Here's another sample of, in this case, the Parkland Chorus. This is the larger group, the more community group. Some music by Randall Stroop. This is from quite a number of years ago, fall of 2003, mm-hmm. And it's called The Pasture. It's a beautiful piece. I just sampled a little bit of it. So at least it sounds beautiful at the beginning.
I think it's good.
Yeah. Parkland Chorus, conducted by Barbara Zachow here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
And that was the Parkland Chorus, led by Barbara Zachow. Music by Randall Stroop, called The Pasture, from the fall of 2003, live recording, as you could probably tell. And you can hear them live and local at Parkland Theater tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It's a free concert with the Parkland Chorus and the Chamber Singers, and also two groups from Monticello High School, the Madrigals and the Chamber Choir, conducted by Tricia Cole. And no orchestra on this concert, but you do have your accompanist, Dan King.
Yes, Crady. Dan King Crady accompanies Parkland Chorus and Parkland Chamber Singers.
So what has made you stick around at Parkland doing these groups for so long?
I love it. I love conducting. I love the challenge of picking music that has quality and that is worth spending the time on learning, and it's wonderful. I feel really lucky to do it.
Yeah, if we could all do those things that we feel lucky to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say that about this show that I get to do every day, so it's great. I mean, I can actually see the enthusiasm in your face answering that question. And, you know, they've had you stick around, so they must enjoy having you.
They didn't kick me out.
This is good. Well,
if
the variety... Well, you know, I haven't even asked you what's on the program. So what is on the program? We're sampling things that you used to play, or you have played in the past.
Right. In typical Parkland style, there are a variety of pieces. I'm going to flip through here because I brought my folder and just let you know some of them. One is called "And the Night Shall Be Filled with Music" by Greg Gilpin. Then we have a spiritual "Shine on Me" by Rollo Dilworth. There's also an arrangement by David Dickow of a poem called "Stars I Shall Find." And those are all things that Parkland Chorus is doing. Then we're also doing a piece in Hebrew by Salomone Rossi. We're doing that together. We're doing a piece called "Homeland" by Randall Stroop. And you heard another piece by him just a little bit ago. And then Chamber Singers is doing some madrigals and a little bit of vocal jazz and a piece called "Gaelic Blessing" that you should come and listen very carefully to the words.
Is that a John Rutter piece?
It is not.
A different one. Different setting in that.
It is different.
Okay.
It is by Gawthorpe, Daniel Gawthorpe.
Okay. Barbara Zachow, director of the choruses at Parkland, and that concert's in Champaign tomorrow night at the Parkland Theater. It's free. Go out and hear it. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Our show comes to you with support from Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from noon to 4 in the Bouvance Tasting Room. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. And we're going to go out with the combined forces of the Parkland Chorus and the Parkland Chamber Singers from a concert some time ago with music by the Beatles. ¶¶